Nancy Pelosi barely edges out Kevin McCarthy in the race for Speaker of the House. Senator Ted Cruz calls for a commission to investigate voter fraud and election law violations. Plus, Mitt Romney blasts Cruz's efforts as an egregious ploy. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. Happy New Year to all of you. I'm very excited about 2021, and I just want to thank you for making our first 2 years of the 13-Minute News Hour so great. We topped 100,000 subscribers in just these first 2 years, and we continue to grow. I am so happy for all of you to be here. I want to thank you. Let's make 2021 even better. All right, let's start with Nancy Pelosi, because she was Speaker in the last Congress, the 116th. The elections were held yesterday for the new Congress. All the new members were being sworn in. This is their first job. Their first duty is to elect a Speaker. Nancy Pelosi was reelected by the thinnest of margins, folks. She barely edged out Kevin McCarthy. And what it shows is that if the GOP can stay strong, can continue the momentum that they showed in the last election cycle, Kevin McCarthy is in a very strong position to be the next Speaker of the House. And here's the story. Nancy Pelosi on Sunday clinched enough votes in the House of Representatives to secure her fourth term as House Speaker. The California Democrat, who has led her party in the House since 2003 and is the only woman to be Speaker, had been widely expected to retain her post. Pelosi received 216 votes to 209 for Kevin McCarthy, who again will be the chamber's minority leader. Earlier, 427 members announced themselves as present, 220 Democrats, 207 Republicans. Nancy Pelosi needed a majority, or 214 votes, to return as Speaker, meaning she could afford to lose just 6 Democrat votes. So, Nancy Pelosi needed 214 votes, received 216. That's how close it was, folks. And it really sets the table for a very interesting Congress and a very interesting election cycle in 2022. Because the word is that Nancy Pelosi, this is her last term. This is her last go-around as Speaker of the House. We saw in 2020 that political move after political move, she was not on the right side of it. She erred politically, whether it was impeachment, coronavirus, stimulus, delays, a lot of political maneuvering that she just was not in touch. She was out of touch with what she had done in the past. That strength that she had shown in the past was definitely diminished. She was attacked on the left by people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and she was attacked from the right by the GOP, who is getting stronger and stronger in the House. And here's more.
Well, Nancy Pelosi understands that some of these districts are not in her favor. You know, Republicans like to use her as kind of the symbol of the Democratic Party, a San Francisco liberal. They run against her with this narrow majority. They view this as an opportunity to pick the House up in 2022. That campaign, frankly, has already started. And they're going to look at these Democrats from other swing districts who cast ballots for her, and not the Slotkins and the Spanbergers, but others, and say, look, you know, they're associating with Nancy Pelosi, and weaponize this roll call vote against them.
So what's going to be interesting is how this close vote manifests itself, not in 2022, but in this Congress. Again, Pelosi was attacked from the left. She has people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, other squad members attacking her all the time, which is funny that they all fell in line and supported her for Speaker. But you also have the GOP on the rise. This was a great election cycle for them. You know, we talk about the voter fraud, the massive voter fraud on the presidential level, but on the congressional level, the GOP did amazingly well. Not a single House member on the GOP, a single incumbent, lost. None of them. All the toss-up races went to the GOP. They are getting stronger. And if the speakership is an issue in 2022, I think we're going to be on the right side of it. All right, so next, let's talk about what's going on with the Senate, with the House, and the electoral vote certification that is only 2 days away. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. We're making our push for 150,000 subscribers, and we can do it with your help. All right, let's talk about what's going on, folks, because on Wednesday, January 6th, the vote will be done to certify the Electoral College votes. And just a month ago, think about this, just a month ago, you had one member of the House of Representatives, Mo Brooks, and zero members of the Senate saying they would challenge the votes. Only one person. Now, you have about 120 House members. Senator Josh Hawley stepped forward saying he was going to challenge the results. And now, Senator Ted Cruz and a group of 11 senators have put together a position saying that they are going to challenge the results of the election, pending the formation of an electoral commission to investigate all of this voter fraud, all of these allegations, talk to the witnesses, look at the evidence, and come to a conclusion. And here's Senator Ted Cruz.
So this past week, I spent writing out a position and assembling a group that ultimately of 11 senators that we put out yesterday that we will together object to certification in order to force the appointment of an emergency electoral commission to perform an emergency audit of the election results to assess these claims of frauds. I think we can do that. We can do it promptly.
So here's one thing to keep in mind is that the media love to paint a narrative and use buzzwords to describe what they think the story is or they want you to believe the story is, and it has nothing to do with facts. One of those words is baseless. You see this all the time, baseless claims of voter fraud. And yet we know hundreds of witnesses have come forward. All you need to do is watch for yourself this testimony before these Senate and House committees on the state level, before the state legislatures, to hear all the evidence, to listen to the witnesses. It's not baseless at all, yet the media use that term. Another term they love to use is unprecedented. This is unprecedented. We're just supposed to accept voter fraud and move along. The Democrats, if they have claims, they can fight for it. Oh, the media will be on their side. But if it's Republicans doing the fighting, we're just supposed to move along. None of this has happened before. All of these challenges are a threat to the Constitution. They're unprecedented. That's what the media say, but it's 100% false. There have been plenty of challenges over the years to the electoral process because of voter fraud allegations, because of discrepancies, irregularities, election law violations. A perfect example is the election of 1876 with Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden, and Senator Ted Cruz actually talked about it in the interview.
In that election, there were serious allegations of fraud in three different states, in Florida, in Louisiana, and in South Carolina. And what did Congress do in 1876? Now, they didn't throw up their hands and say, well, gosh, we've got allegations of fraud, but we can't do anything about it. We've just got to certify. Nope, they didn't do that.
Sound familiar? Massive claims of voter fraud, and yet the media want us to throw up our hands and do nothing about it. I think times are a little different. I think times are changing to where we are finally fighting back, thanks to President Trump, who has emboldened others like Senator Ted Cruz, a host of others now, to step forward. Here's what happened in 1876.
Yeah.
What they did instead is they appointed a commission. It was called an electoral commission, consisted of five House members, five senators, five Supreme Court justices. They considered evidence, they examined the ballots, and they made a determination based upon what the disputed ballots and what the outcome should be. What I'm arguing for right. is Congress ought to do the same thing. We ought to have a fair inquiry, a fair audit into these results, and we ought to resolve these claims, not just dismiss them out of hand.
This is great stuff by Senator Ted Cruz, and here is something else that was brought up during the interview, and that is a recent survey has found that nearly 40% of all Americans believe the election was rigged. Nearly 40%, including 31% of independents. This is another reason. This is a big reason. This could be the main reason to fight what's going on, to fight this certification, because we owe it to the American people to do a full and thorough investigation into election fraud, these allegations, these claims by the witnesses, this evidence. We owe it to the American people to investigate it, because per our Constitution, per our republic, this is the greatest freedom we have, the freedom to choose our own leaders. We empower them. If that's not really true, if we are not choosing our own leaders, if they are being chosen for us through election fraud, that is wrong, folks. That is wrong, and we need to do something about it. So next, let's talk about the other side. We have people like Senator Hawley stepping up. We have people like Senator Ted Cruz stepping up, fighting for this, fighting for election integrity. That is what they are doing. Then on the other side, you've got Mitt Romney. You've got Mitt Romney blasting Hawley, blasting Cruz, saying these efforts are bad, basically painting them as the bad guys for fighting for free and fair elections. And here's the story. Senator Mitt Romney released a scathing statement following Senator Ted Cruz and several other GOP senators announcing their intent to reject the electors from disputed states unless and until a 10-day audit is completed, categorizing the move as an egregious ploy that dangerously threatens our democratic republic. The egregious ploy to reject electors may enhance the political ambition of some, but dangerously threatens our democratic republic. The congressional power to reject electors is reserved for the most extreme and unusual circumstances, Romney said in a statement on Saturday, following the release of a joint statement from Senator Ted Cruz and others. Romney is just pathetic, folks. This is an assault on our republic. He says it should be reserved for the most extreme and unusual circumstances. This is that time. Have you ever seen circumstances more unusual or more extreme? I haven't seen it, and I've been involved in politics in a long time. You had votes just appearing, massive influxes of votes for Joe Biden, hardly any for President Trump. President Trump winning Florida and Ohio and Iowa, things that determine the presidency, and he doesn't win. Bellwether counties almost all going for Trump, and he doesn't win. These are unusual circumstances. On top of that, you have all the witnesses and all the evidence, something that Mitt Romney doesn't seem to be concerned with at all. And this is what he's talking about. And here's more from Romney. Were Congress to actually reject state electors, partisans would inevitably demand the same anytime their candidate had lost. Congress, not voters in the respective states, would choose our presidents. Adding to this ill-conceived endeavor by some in Congress is the president's call for his supporters to come to the Capitol on the day when this matter is to be debated and decided. This has the predictable potential to lead to disruption and worse. Oh my gosh, this could lead to disruption. A rally, a pro-democracy rally, pro-Trump rally could lead to disruption. How dare we do that? Again, with Romney, other establishment members, and those on the left, we should all just fall in line. We should all just be quiet and move forward with Joe Biden. That's what Mitt Romney wants. So finally, it's not Relaxed Brain Friday, but I just have to talk about Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, because this guy, oh my gosh, he is just so lame. He led a city, he has led this city that had hundreds of days of riots. I mean, nonstop riots for months and months and months, did nothing about it. He's the one that went down there to meet with Antifa for a listening tour and then went home because they threw stuff at him and called him names. Now he's upset that Antifa continues the violence and they won't listen to him. They're hurting his feelings. And here's what's going on. It took 6 months of rioting and millions of dollars in property damage for Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler to order increased law enforcement action against Antifa. My good faith efforts at de-escalation have been met with ongoing violence and even scorn from radical Antifa and anarchists, Wheeler said in a subsequent press conference. In response, it will be necessary to use additional tools and push the limits of the tools we already have to bring the criminal destruction and violence to an end. So he's upset about the ongoing violence, but even more so, the scorn from Antifa. That's what has upset him. That's what is calling him to action. This guy has done nothing, nothing at all to stop the violence. The Democrats and the left in general, remember, through the whole summer, they never denounced the violence at all. They let this go on. They let this go on. It wasn't until our convention, when they saw some polling numbers, that they actually spoke out against violence. They spoke out against violence against the American people, against property, against people's livelihoods. They did that because of polling, not because it really mattered to them. Now, Wheeler is upset, and here's more. This part of the story goes back to a press statement that was released in September. The violence must stop, Democrat Oregon Governor Kate Brown said in a statement released September 3rd. There is no place for white supremacy or vigilantism in Oregon. All who perpetrate violent crimes must be held equally accountable. Brown's statement was signed by Wheeler and several other politicians, including 19 Portland businesses and community leaders. So it's interesting that all summer long, all these months, Antifa was rioting and looting and vandalizing and assaulting people. That's what was going on. And yet Wheeler joins in on this statement denouncing white supremacy and vigilantes. That's Ted Wheeler. That's what's going on in Portland. Folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. And we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching. And before you go, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell so you'll be notified. And here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour. And don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.